This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
All righty, there he is. How you feeling, my man? You feeling good?
What's going on? I'm in your home state right now. Not in your city, but in your state.
Were you at in Jacksonville or Tampa?
Jacksonville. Yeah, Jacksonville. Did Tampa for the Miami joint practices. Now in Jacksonville today. Headed out to Buffalo tonight, as a matter of fact.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's the one that that's the carrot on the leading the way in this division. That's the team that Miami has got to try to catch up to. They are absolutely loaded. You know, I was talking about this today because Javon Holland is just a fantastic play. And to think that this front office was forced to trade Minka because Flo and him didn't get along, and then you go and get Javon Holland. This front office has drafted two of the five young best safeties in the league right now in those two guys in the last couple of years. It is amazing. So he made a couple of interceptions today. One was phenomenal. The other one was an underthrow by Tua, so it was a gift. But, you know, I was talking about this, how anticipatory throwers have to adjust when they get to this league. It's not that they can't succeed. From Greasy to Breeze to Montana to, you know, now Tua, you know, all kinds of guys. Now, the Josh Allens of the world and the Justin Herberts and the Cam Newtons and all those kind of guys, they can do things that other guys can't. They can wait for a half a second more for the receiver because they've got cannons, you know. Although Cam doesn't have the accuracy that you would like. But can you talk a little bit about the challenge in the history of the game? Because it took Drew Brees a couple of years to kind of figure out the timing of the NFL. You know what I mean? So talk a little bit about that and the challenge for those kind of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're that kind of a thrower, an anticipatory thrower, someone who, you know, throws guys open and, you know, really basically throws to a spot knowing that your guy is going to get there, you just have to be smarter. You have to be able to anticipate. You have to have an intuitive feel for the game. And you have to be smarter, and that's not for everyone. You're right. Like, you know, Cam Newton was among several who would see a guy open then just absolutely rifle it in there. That's okay. Like, as long as you have a strong enough arm, you can do that. There are other guys, you know, you included Tua. I would say, you know, Breeze is one. There's been
Montana was like that. Montana didn't have a gun either, dude.
Montana. Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady's kind of like that too, where it's not really about arm strength. It's about, like, I know where my guy is precisely going to be on his seventh step, so I'm going to throw it there, and then he's going to catch it and keep running.
As big as Peyton Manning was, he didn't have a cannon, actually.
Right. You know? Same sort of thing. So it's just, you know, there's just not as much margin for error because you have to know everything and you have to be right as far as the timing and where everyone's going to be. Plenty of ways to get it done. That one puts the onus on smarts and intuition rather than just raw athletic ability.
Yeah, and I think he has it, and I think it's just one of those processes. And one, I think he actually has shown it to you in the first 2 years under the worst conditions.
Yeah.
If you actually give him a running game and an offensive line and a really good play caller and a quarterback's coach, oh, my God, he might have what he had in Alabama, and then all of a sudden, guess what? He's going to have success. So to me, that's kind of the – and I get it. I'm president of Tuanon. So yep. I'm not seeing the reality.
Have you been elevated to president?
I think I'm pretty close to it. When it comes to the media, I'm pretty sure of that. When it comes to media, I don't. Yeah, I think I'm the guy that, because I believe in the kid. I think he's not the problem. I think everything else around him was so effed up that it's so hard to succeed. Listen, man, when you're the least sacked quarterback behind the worst line and no running game in the NFL, that's impressive. When you see the former quarterback that was here, who had two running backs and an offensive line, and he's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL last year, that tells you all you need to know. If you fix things and you give Tua what Tannehill has in Tennessee, what Kirk Cousins has in Minnesota, what some of these other quarterbacks have, I think you'll see a much better quarterback. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the hope is that you're right. Now, obviously, you know, there's different ways to build a championship winning team. You can, you know, basically just have a great quarterback with a lot of weapons. You can build around a average quarterback and have great infrastructure, great offensive line, great defensive line, great weapons, have the quarterback just distribute along with the run game. Like, there's a lot of ways to do it. I'd say even if the Dolphins end up as just having just an average quarterback who keeps things rolling, hands the ball off, and gets in the hands of their playmakers, like, that is fine. It's just, again, it's a you know, smaller margin for error if things don't go great. But you could definitely win like that. I'll say that.
Is it as bad as they're saying in New England, dude? Because, like, man, it is not sounding good, Ian. I mean, far be it from me to be worried about or concerned. But no, seriously, like, what the hell is going on in New England there? The reports don't sound good.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, it's the Patriots, it's Bill Belichick, so I would sort of temper expectations that they're going to be terrible. They always figure it out. For 20 years more, they have always figured it out. And, you know, what they will not be afraid to do, though, I would say, is they will not be afraid to use this time and even into the season to experiment, to see what works, to see how the best they can play, to figure out which play caller is the best, to see which scheme is the best. Like, they don't mind going into October and being like, yeah, we'll see. Well, we'll figure something out, because they always do. And they're always one of the best football teams in the NFL in November and December. So, you know, I think they're going to be fine. I would expect Belichick to take a very heavy hand in the offense this year. I don't know about calling it, but be very involved, similar to the way he was last year with the defense. And I think all that is, you know, all that is something that has led everyone to lose their minds. But in the end, one thing we always know for the last 20 years, the Patriots are going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's almost like maybe they'll start off a little rough and they'll continue to, like what they normally do, right? That they, as the season goes on, they get better. The only thing
is, just a little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing is, I don't know if I buy that offense. That's my problem. That to me is, whether it's the offensive coordinator, the fact that you don't have Skarnecchia there anymore, and you haven't had him there for the last couple of years, obviously, but still, I just, when I look at that talent, when I look at the receivers, it doesn't seem like an offense that's scary.
Yeah, but they've never been an offense that's scary. That's what's interesting, is they play great
situational football. But Brady scares you.
Yeah, I mean, with the game on the line, you think Brady's going to make a play. But it's not like they're like the Chiefs offense is scary.
Yes.
You know, like that is – and there's others. Like, you know, if you get on the wrong side of the Ravens offense, like, that could be scary. Like, there's some scary – but it's never been the Patriots. They've been more of like situational football, play you well, down in, down out. Drive down, kick a field goal, win the game, move on to the next team that you're going to beat, just like that. Like, that's the way the Patriots have been. So, like, to me, knowing what I know, I don't see why they won't be exactly like that this year, even with all of the sort of consternation and angst before the preseason even is finished.
What do you think is second in that division? Because obviously only an idiot doesn't pick the Bills. I mean, unless you're a complete homer, you know, as much as I root for the Dolphins, they're not the best team in the division. I think the Bills are, but I think the Dolphins are going to prove to be the second best team in the division. I think they're going to beat the Patriots. They beat them twice last year, and I think the Dolphins are much better this year than they were last year. So I like my Dolphins here to be the second team in the division. Who do you think is going to be the second team in the AFC East?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, if Tua takes a big step forward, it should be the Dolphins, and I agree the personnel is better. You know, what we don't know is – how much of the defense we saw was Brian Flores and how much of it was the rest of the staff. Like, that's going to really determine how good the defense is, because if Flores was the one calling the defense, holding this thing together, then that unit might take a step back even as the offense takes a step up. Was Flores just the head coach and the defense is going to stay with it, then they're going to be fine. So, but I mean, I think the Dolphins certainly have the tools to get there. I think they can, you know, challenge the Bills, certainly. But again, like, when you're talking about, you know, not being sure about the Patriots, they have 20 years of success when everyone was like, yeah, I don't think this will be the year. Like this is sort of when they're at their best.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. When you look at the Green Bay situation, it reminds me a lot of Brady, where they didn't really go all out at wide receiver to help him and bring some names in. Right. And it's kind of the same thing over the last couple of years. I know they drafted a kid this year too, but still, does he have enough? And the pressures of making the franchise quarterback elevate everyone and not help him by giving him a weapon or two that can make his life super easy. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, you know, you lost Devontae Adams and did not fill the coffers with a Pro Bowl receiver. Like, that's noted. Now, I mean, I'm curious if they can be just as productive in offense or even almost as productive in offense while spreading the ball around, because Devontae Adams got it so much. But if they are more well-rounded this year, does that end up benefiting the offense as a whole, because Rodgers can just kind of throw to whoever's open rather than having to worry about a true number one? Maybe, we'll see. But that's kind of one of the big questions for me. I mean, that's, you know, the Packers should be really good. Hearing Rodgers, I don't know, express some public thoughts on where his receivers are, at least that caught my eye. I don't know how much it'll matter, but at least that caught my eye as far as, like, maybe he's not exactly 100% thrilled with where everyone's at.
I'm going to ask you a question now.
Okay.
And I think it's a fair question. And they're both kind of in the same position because they both lost their stud. Now, one of them has a better tight end than the other, but still. So, who's going to be the better offense and the higher ranked and the more productive offense this year? Kansas City or the Packers?
My guess is Kansas City. You know, I would and
Andy Reid,
I
mean, Andy Reid effect, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Packers have some of that too, in that they have a system that's so good that I think they're going to be productive regardless. But I just, Andy Reid is so good and is such a great job every year of reinventing himself. I'm not saying Tyreek is not a great, great player, because he certainly is a great, great player. But I think they're going to be able to scheme without him being there. I think they will be fine. And you know, actually, it might be better, you know, for both sides that trade happened, because I think defensively, you know, the Chiefs probably got a little better as well, especially if you look at, you know, we'll see where the draft picks end up. It's certainly possible.
What are you working on in the NFL Network so folks can check you out, Ian Rappaport?
Well, I'm going to Buffalo tonight, and, you know, we'll see if something ends up happening with just Deshaun Watson situation. Obviously working on that. And otherwise, man, it's time to gear up for the season. We're getting closer. It's a very good thing.
Don't you love that I went this whole segment without Watson? Like, I was like, man, I'm not doing this again. It's like every week I don't want to do it. I don't want
to
do it.
If this were last year, we would have had to discuss Deshaun every single time. Every single time. So a little less this time.
I know. I'm just glad the Dolphins aren't in that mess, dude, because then we would have been, you know, having to deal with the whole crap.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah. Yep.
I know. All right. Much love, my brother. We will catch up next week. Be safe in your travels. Enjoy the Anchor Bar, right? You got to go, right?
I'm absolutely done. So, yes, I will. Thank you, man. Take care.
You got it. There you go. Ian Rappaport, baby. That's our look around the NFL.